Nutrition expert, bariatric patient, podcaster, professional chef, and friend, Stephanie Mitchell.
Hi.
I really thought about it. So, truth be told, this is like our fifth time attempting to record this episode because technology. And the first time we recorded this, I left out like half of the things that you do. And I was like, I'm not forgetting those things this time around.
That's okay.
So today I'm super excited to talk to you about something that you and I have actually talked about a lot and you talk about frequently on your own podcast, In Berry Nation, Out of Berry Nation, and that is life after GLP-1 medication or anti-obesity medication. You've been on it, you have been off it, you have maintained your weight, which is the thing that everybody is terrified about in terms of like what happens if I want to stop taking the medication or if I lose access to the medication. And you are going to share with us your story about what happened when you stopped taking those medications.
And I'll go back, I'll take it back a step further to why I even took it, because people do ask that, like, oh, is that necessary? You have to take that after bariatric surgery, and you don't have to, but like most bariatric patients, you find yourself in some form of regain. I honestly don't know anybody who's had surgery that hasn't gained, 10, 20, if not more. And we've all heard the story about, your cousin's friend's cousin's sister, Susie, who gained all her weight back. And isn't that going to happen to you too? And it's like, no, I don't want to be a statistic. And so for me, I'll take it back to why. And that was because I had my 2-year follow-up appointment. I had moved out of state. I had to find a new doctor. And I was terrified because I had gained a good 40, maybe a little bit more pounds. I popped back up over 200. I was very happy to be in Wonderland, as most people are when they get there. And it was just like, it seemed ever elusive, like I was never going to get there. And then I did. And I kind of maintained some weight there. But then it started creeping up and creeping up. And it's 5 more pounds and it's 5 more pounds. And next thing you know, I'm up to like the one, like, I'm sorry, two, like 15 or so, somewhere around there, just under 220. And I'm like, what the heck? This wasn't the plan. So when I had that appointment, I made an appointment with a new doctor, just went to a weight loss because I wanted to maintain going annually. And I just knew I was in trouble. And when I went in for my appointment, he was super kind and super caring and very matter of fact. And I told him, I was like, well, here's what my lowest weight was. Here's where I'm at, and gave him kind of my background. I was like, and I've gained quite a bit of weight back. And I'm thinking they're going to give you like a meal plan, the same one that was in your binder, and, smack on the back of the hand. But he was just like, well, we have some options. And he's like, obviously, you could go to a revision because I'm asleep. He said, you could go to a revision. He's like, or there's some weight loss medications out there. And he said, there's some in pills like phentermine and that kind of thing. And I didn't know anything about any of them. So whatever he told me was all brand new to me. I've never taken any weight loss medication before. So I'm like, okay. He's like, there's some that are in shots. And I'm like, not really feeling the needle. And he's like, but I will tell you, I think the shot is your best option. I think it's going to be the most effective for you. So he gave me the options. He said, I can give you a prescription for whatever you choose. Go home, think about it, message me in the portal, let me know what you want to do. But he just like sat and talked to me, which is, as an obese person, you don't get that from a doctor. You get exercise more and eat less from a doctor. So I was already floored. And so I instantly trusted him. And as I went home and I took the time to think about it, I was like, this man was kind to me. And it seems like he has my best interest in mind. And I think I trust him as a doctor. I trust him, and I just met him. So he really recommended Mounjaro. And this is when Mounjaro was like brand new, before people were even really talking about it. It was in September of, I guess that would be 2022. And so I started, I told him, I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to get over the shot thing because it weirded me out. I'm going to do it. So he sent the prescription. There was a coupon code. He told me like what pharmacies worked best with it. Like he really guided me. The doctor, not someone from the office. The doctor was that passionate, which I loved. And
That's
he guided
awesome.
me. Yeah, he guided me through the process, where to go, how to do it, what I should do, side effects. And he thought the side effects would outweigh the, the benefit would outweigh the side effects and everything. So we went through it, and he wanted a follow up in like a month, and then we would see if I could progress to the next. So he gave me the prescription. I had no problem getting it. The only problem is it being back ordered, so it'd take a little bit of time to actually, And it wasn't terrible. It was like a week or so. And so I got it and the coupon code works. So I'm paying my $25 a month. Life is grand. And then all of a sudden it's like everybody's starting to get on the train and they pull the coupon, you know, all these issues, but I was grandfathered in. So I got to somehow keep coasting through it. With all of that, my goal weight was always 165, which I was never able to attain with weight loss surgery. And I got there. And I went from October through May. So I'm exactly a year off of Mounjaro now. So it's been a year. And I was kind of excited for the year to come to see where I was. So 165 being my goal weight. Once I got there, it was time for, I was moving back. We decided to move back up here. And I knew switching that prescription was going to be an issue because I had it. I was in where I was and I would have to switch the coupon card and all this stuff. And I'm like, my husband's like, Stephanie, you don't need it. He's like, I think you can do it without. Just it's time to pull the plug. Like you got to where you want to be. And so I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to do it.
Hey, this is April. Jason, Nat, and I love making this podcast for you each and every week, but we need your help to keep it going. Become a Berry Nation podcast supporter for $5 a month and help us produce this show. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to join us.
And I just stopped taking it. And I will say, so to backtrack a little bit, some of my side effects and to me weren't terrible. Constipation, headaches. I would take the shot at night before bed. So anything that was like immediate, I slept through it. So I slept through the initial headache part of it. I did have some hot flashes at night while I would sleep and stuff like that, but nothing that was enough for me to not want to take it. I always said I felt, people would ask me, what's it like? Because I was one of the kind of first people in the community to start taking it. And I say, it's like being 6 months post-op again, but but healed more because I, at that time I was 2 years post-op. So obviously I could eat regular foods and that kind of stuff, but it was that type of restriction. It was where I wasn't thinking about food all the time, like thinking about food and food calling me from upstairs or the pantry or takeout or wherever, like just constantly thinking about what time is it? Should I eat? I shouldn't eat because I just ate. And it's just like, bam, 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 always a conversation in your head. And it was gone. It was gone within a few days of it, of taking it. And then I will say that coming off of it, it comes back. It came back within a week or so, I'd say, of coming off of it. And my goal was always to be within 10 pounds of my goal weight. That's what I wanted. So 165 was my goal weight, which meant I wanted to stay. Obviously, there's weight fluctuation. No one maintains 165 for the rest of their life. There's going to be fluctuation. So 10 pounds was what I was thinking. And I am 15 pounds and stuck. My body loves 180. Loves it, loves it, loves it. Doesn't matter what I do, it loves 180. And so I'm there and I'm okay with it. And I've come to the conclusion that, you know, we hear it all the time, you know, the number on a scale, it's just a number. And some of that is true. It's a data point for us. But at the same time, I'm working out now more than I had probably in the previous 2 years to it. I've just really fallen into a groove with it and I've gotten into weight training too. So there's some muscle factor there, but I'm not eating like anything. I eat like a normal person. I'm not eating out of control. I'm not binging. I'm not doing anything crazy. So I just think my body really likes 180. And if I really, really look hard at it, I've probably got arms, legs, stomach, a good 15 pounds of skin. So my husband reminds me of that too. He's like, Steph, think about if you didn't have that skin, you'd be at your goal weight. Which I'm like, okay, that's the theory I'm going to go with. So yeah, after a year, I did not gain it all back. I am like 175 to 180 is where I hover. And I'm okay with that, especially knowing that what I'm doing with my body and building muscle and that kind of thing. So I think I'm okay. My clothing size hasn't changed. So that's the real metric for me.
I swear to God, that's like the truest metric out of all of them, right? Because when I started my own weight loss medication journey, I exact same thing, right? I got to a low weight and then I bounced up 30 pounds, maybe even closer to 35, and just straight up panicked because I gained weight when I was working one-on-one with a coach, when I was really tracking what I was eating, when I was moving every day, right? It was like, this makes no sense whatsoever. And that was what I needed to really make the commitment to treating my disease of obesity with medication on top of all the other things that I was doing. But my body loves to be at a weight that I don't consider my ideal weight. But my body sure as heck does. My body loves me to be at 200. That's my body's number. I don't love it there, but I'm the same size that I was at my smallest. I can do all of the same things, right? Like it's just this weird mental game that we play with ourselves because we pick a number, at least you and I both did, that our body doesn't, that's not our body's number.
And it wasn't my doctor's number either. It was just my number of like knowing what other people weigh about my size. I'm like, I think 165 seems like a good spot. Like it's a number I made up, but I'm also like, I'm a go-getter. So if that's my number, I'm going to get that number. Whatever I have to do at all costs, I'm going to get that number. And so I got it stuck in my head. And so now I'm okay with saying I maintained my weight, you know, after taking medication. Initially I was like, I look like a fraud, like saying I'm maintaining my weight when I'm not, because I'm up 15 pounds, but I am, because I will say I was like thin on the medication in a probably not as healthy way because I didn't work out like I do now. And I could see that I have, so like, for example, if we're going clothing sizes, I did squeak into a size 8 in jeans. The size 8s don't fit me, but I've been a steady solid 10, but I barely wore the 8s, barely wore them. Yeah. Like I was like, ooh, let me try an 8 because that's what I'm getting into. And I kind of was there and I could probably get into them. I would just be like uncomfortable a little bit and I'm not getting rid of them. They may fit again, but I'm a solid 10 and that is okay because guess what? I used to be a 24, 26. So I'll take the 10 and I'm okay with it.
Yes. And I think when it comes to our weight, we so often focus on the number on the scale, but we don't actually think about what is coming together in our bodies to create that weight.
Yes.
And you might have been 165, but with not the muscle mass that you have today. Mm-hmm. And muscle mass is what keeps us healthier longer. It's what keeps disease at bay. It's what allows us to move our bodies in functional ways, not just athletic ways, right? So it's kind of like, okay, what really is more important now? If I weigh less, but I don't actually have the muscle mass or the internal stuff to do what I want to do, is it worth the 165 or is the 175, the 180 actually allowing me to live the life that I really want to live?
Right. Yeah. And I can see we spend enough time looking at ourselves in the mirror, clothed, unclothed, all of it. And I can see the actual, because I lost some of my, I've always been very curvy and I lost some of my curve. I did, they say like Manjaro face or Manjaro butt or whatever, like you lose stuff like that. And I think And I think I did start to lose some of that, but it's back. It's back. I was just talking to my husband about that too. I'm like, I was away for work over the week and I was going to the gym in the hotel and I put my clothes on and, you know, you look at yourself. I was like, ooh, I'm like, I just caught a glimpse of my butt in the mirror and I like what I saw. And he's just like, Jesus, I'm like, it's back. Because it started to go away and I've always had like I've always been shapely and I've always had curves and I like my curves. I just don't want curves at, you know, 200 and whatever pounds. I really, this is the healthiest. I think I'm healthier now than I was 2 years post-op just because of what I can do, what my body can do with its 175, 180. It can do things now that I could not do before.
And that's what I think is so powerful about this conversation is people's definition of maintenance, right? We so prescribe to a very, very narrow definition of it. And that is the weight never changes on my scale.
Right.
And that's just not a holistic definition of maintenance because you are maintaining in a healthier way. You are eating differently. You're eating nutritiously. I know you're eating whole foods. Because you lead those meal prep classes all the time in Berry Nation, right? So I know what you're eating and you're moving your body in really functional ways, right? Like there's four things that can help us maintain a lower metabolic set point and resistance movement is one of those four things on top of surgery, medication, and a whole food diet. So you really are doing all of those things and it's showing the result is your body is as strong and as fit and as healthy as it has ever been.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I went to a doctor's appointment. So I had recently my 3-year post-op, and this was back because I've moved back home. This was with the doctor with the team that I originally had my surgery with. And they were just like, they're so impressed by it. And I love that. It's like, feel good. Cause you need those wins every once in a while just to be like, oh my God, look at you. You're doing great. And they were like, you're like, my blood pressure, I worry about it sometimes because it can be so low. And they were like, you have like the blood pressure of a child and the pulse of a child. Like, they're like, it's actually like an athletic pulse, they call it. My resting heart rate is like in the 50s all the time, which is low. So my concern was, is it okay? And she said, as long as you're not feeling dizzy or passing out or anything like that, you're fine. She's like, you're just really healthy and your heart isn't fighting so hard to pump. Your heart is happy. And that is why it's so low. It's not fighting like it used to pump blood. Cause I had high blood pressure. I had, I was pre-diabetic. My cholesterol was out of whack. And she was like, your numbers are phenomenal. You have zero to worry about. Just keep doing what you're doing. Unless something like you feel dizzy or you feel something doesn't feel right, that's when it's cause for alarm. But I was like, okay, cool. I'll take it.
Are you feeling a little lost or unsure where to go next in your bariatric path? I've been there too. Don't worry. Bari Nation membership community provides weekly support and proven strategies to help you find bariatric balance. Join our community of amazing patients and experts to guide you along your journey. Visit barination.mn.co to learn more.
Well, and the other thing that you are demonstrating too for how we can be successful when we do stop these medications, you are truly partnering with your care team to ensure that you really are healthy, right? So it sounds like you're checking in with them often, you're asking the right questions, they're asking you the right questions. It feels like a real collaborative partnership when it comes to your health.
Yes. And I'm lucky because I know so many people that don't have a good team. I got a good doctor out of, flipping through the white pages or whatever, looking for something when I was in North Carolina. I don't know who you are. And then I got a good team here. So I am extremely lucky when it comes to, my doctors, my bariatric doctors. I got really, really, really lucky. And I'm happy that I can have those conversations. I could probably message that doctor in North Carolina tomorrow and still get him to answer a question if I needed it. So I'm lucky. Yeah. And I will continue to have that. And I know part of what we were going to talk about is why, how I feel like I was successful. And so I'm just going to pivot into that because part of it is not being complacent. I wasn't complacent when my weight started going up because a lot of times, and we see people in the community all the time, they ghost. And when someone ghosts, you know, it's not good. You just know it's not good. So I will not ghost on the community and I will not ghost on my appointments because that's what keeps me accountable. We didn't get to being, I didn't get to over 300 pounds and severely obese by, keeping myself in line, clearly, And so it's like, I know I need that accountability. And that's why I'm active in the community. That's why I'm active in Bari Nation. That's why I have my own podcast, because I need to be active. I need to be in recovery. I need to be active. I need to put myself in the presence of other people. I need people to see me, to hold me accountable. And so I don't want to give up on myself, which is what led me to that other doctor. Cause I could have skipped the appointment. No one's coming looking for me. I could have skipped that, but I did it. I showed up for myself. I chose to take a path to try again. But in my mind, I was like, Stephanie, the next option is revision. Not to take from anybody who's had revision, but that's not the plan. It's not anybody's plan when they have surgery the first time.
No.
And
it's okay that it's not your plan. That's okay.
Right. And so I just wanted to, I know it's there. It's there if I need to. I don't want to. I want to be cut open one time and be done with it. And so I told myself this time we need to learn our body differently because I had bariatric surgery. I did after the honeymoon phase, it's that year and a half or so, and everything's great. And I'm having cookies for breakfast and I'm still losing weight, right? Because it happens. And that's where people call it taking the easy way out. It happens. You just continue losing weight while you're eating whatever you choose. But if I continue doing that, that's when I put all the weight back on. And there is that realization that like, oh crap, you really have to do the work here. And so, and I did not, yes, I did the work, but I did not do the work that I needed to do to maintain the weight. So once I got there, because you know, they left that chapter out of the binder after therapy, they left the chapter about maintenance out. So you don't know what to do when you get there. So you hit your low and now what? Nobody ever, I've never in my life had to actually just stay where I'm at. I was always fighting to lose and nobody teaches you that part.
No, nobody teaches you how to maintain a low weight.
Yeah.
And what I appreciate about this conversation, and we really talked about in the first recording, which, and I do not want to miss on this one either. I've really been thinking about what you said. I didn't do the work when I was first out of surgery. And I'm going to offer us both an alternative reality to that statement. We were doing the work. We didn't understand the depth of the work, because what I've really been thinking about these last couple of days is that that first year after surgery, that first year and a half, it felt like I was doing nothing and the weight was falling off. I get that. And sometimes I felt a little bit guilty because I'm like, I'm not doing a single thing. I'm just eating less. I'm not hungry, right? All these things. And you're like, this is just great. There's this euphoria and there's this joy. Well, when things are working, it's normal and natural for us as humans to be like, I don't have to do anything else because this is working. And the other thing that I think happens in that period of time, at least I know it was true for me, I was just so happy to get a break from the hunger, to get a break from feeling bad and guilty, to get a break from constantly feeling like I had to give it my all to lose anything. It was like, I finally got this joyful moment to just be like, oh my God, this is what everybody else that doesn't have a problem with weight lives like and feels like and thinks like.
Yeah.
So I guess I just got to this place where I'm like, I am not going to beat myself up because I didn't do all of the work of weight loss surgery in that moment.
Right.
Because God, that was freaking glorious. It was
and amazing. That's why we've dubbed it the honeymoon phase, because it is, it's like, it's where everything's fine and dandy. And then that stops one day. And then it starts to, it settles. It begins to settle. You begin to get into your normalcy. And it's like, if you continue doing kind of, I don't want to say the bare minimum, because gosh, that makes us sound like terrible people. But if you continue just getting by the way you were getting by, the weight's going to come back on, because your the capacity that you can hold as your, you know, stomach starts to heal, it's more and more and more. And if you just keep putting more and more and more in, then you're back to where you were before. And so I did not, the first time around, I did not take the time to learn my body. I did not take the time to learn, because also your hunger is taken away from you. Your hunger cues are taken away because you just don't feel it. But when that comes back, I did not take the time to really tune into my hunger cues and do the things that that people in general do, and eat, you know, eat until you're satisfied, stop when, you know, and don't overeat and eat when you're hungry and all of those things, listening to your hunger cues. I just didn't do it. And so then once the honeymoon phase is over and you're continuing on, the weight starts coming on and on and on. And so this time I said, we're going to learn about ourselves in this process, learn our body, learn our cues. That way, when I stop, I have a base. I have a base of where I need to, this is where I just need to stick to. And I think it's once you've, when I've done that before in the past, because I've done it years ago, it's how I've lost weight years ago. It was like this giant mountain, because I've got 150 pounds to lose. And it's this giant mountain of like, okay, here we go. You know, you're like, let me get myself ready here. And I've got
that's
this
totally
mountain,
what it's like.
Right. And I've got this mountain to climb, but now the mountain has already been climbed. I'm at the top and I just need to stay there. I just need to stay. So it's not like I don't have, so you have something to look forward to once you hit maintenance and it's just staying there. So you have to remind yourself, like, I don't want to climb that mountain again. It's not fun. So although I do love climbing mountains, but I don't want to climb that particular one again. It's daunting. And if you look at it, and it's like the old saying, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And that's exactly what you have to do, is just one pillar at a time. Today I'm going to take my vitamins. You know, if you can't juggle all the plates, just juggle one plate, just keep one spinning. and then try to add another one and continually just try to add to it. And it's like, we're, you know, we're in this circus together. We're all trying to just keep the plates going. And for me, meal prepping every week, I've been doing it for probably, I'm going to say about 2 years now. So for this last year, even when I've moved, even when I lived in a camper for a little bit, when we were uncertain where exactly we wanted to live here last summer, when we moved back up, we lived in our camper. I meal prepped in my camper. I actually did some classes from the camper of my meal prep. Like I just, it was something I was not giving up, because that is helpful to me to actually know that all else fails, I have this food ready for me. Same with like vitamins. I've always been really good with vitamins. I don't know why. Because I take it everywhere I go. It sits with me and they're clear. You can see whether you've taken it or not. So I remind myself, no, you still haven't taken your app, because I do won't take them until after I've eaten. So no, you ate and you still haven't taken it. I'm really, really good with vitamins. Water, so-so. But it's like those things, the things that we know that we have to do. And I've really been working on sleep and exercise, the things that we know that we need to do. I just, you know, a little bit here and there. Some days I hit them all. Some days I hit none of them, but I will try to at least get something. As long as we're trying and you don't stop, then there's always forward momentum.
I so appreciate you saying that. It can seem overwhelming, right? When you're looking at kind of like this list of all of the things that you need to do as a bariatric patient, right? Water, vitamins, protein, eat slow, you know, stop when you're full, movement, you know, focus on mindset, you know, become aware of it. It does seem like a bitty, a big checklist. But every time I find myself going down that line of thinking, I check myself and I say, okay, but you thought and worried about all of those things when you were obese, mm-hmm. when you were super morbidly obese. It's the same work. It just has this different motivation behind it, right? My motivation before was to hopefully get to a weight that was, you know, healthy. Well, now my motivation is to maintain the weight that is healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's why you and I both, and thousands of other people, rely on the pillars, Bari Nation's pillars of bariatric success, right? When it seems so overwhelming, when you're looking at this checklist and it's got 15 things on it, that can certainly shut you down on any given day, because you're just like, oh my God, seriously? But it comes down to four things. It's movement, it's mindset, it's metabolic wellness, not weight, and it's community.
Yeah.
And if you can do one thing in one pillar a day, that is more than what you are probably doing currently.
Yeah.
And instead of beating yourself up over, oh, I can't do any of this, I can do one thing. Can I move my body for 10 minutes? Can I take my vitamins? Can I focus on my hydration? Can I sit down and journal? Like, what am I thinking up here? Let me get it out. Can I connect with anybody in the bariatric community?
Right.
Yes, you can. Yes, and you can.
You know why I think I've always been successful with vitamins? It's like a low-hanging fruit. Like, what does it take for me to put these in my mouth and swallow? Nothing. It takes nothing. I just have to, as long as I have it out where I see it, it's the forgetfulness, but that's the low-hanging fruit. Like, if I had to choose one thing to do today, it's going to be that. Because it's easy. I can do it. I just have to have it out where I can see it. So every morning it sits above my, like a headboard that's got like shelving and whatnot. And it's my box of them all sit up there. And every morning when I get up and I put, you know, glasses and or contacts, whatever, I usually grab my glasses first. I grab water because I always have a water with me, and I grab the box for the day. And I go and it put it in my pocket and it stays with me until I take it. So that's my low hanging fruit. So all else fails, I can always get that done. But the last part, and you just touched on it, of what really, really, truly helps me to stay in this maintenance is the community. And it sounds super duper corny when I say, you know, that's why we have Bari Nation and communities like this. And even just the Instagram community, I'm not a TikTok gal, but Instagram itself, I always have, it's almost like when you see the house on fire on TV and the people got to jump out and they got the blanket to catch them. That's my blanket. This community is always going to catch me no matter what. I can in Bari Nation, especially because and we talked about this in the original recording, but we even have to attend the classes. We teach them, we lead in this community. And we, every once in a while, and when I get one of Laura's classes, she's like, yay, Stephanie, you're here. And she, in the back of her mind, she's probably like, she got what's going on with Stephanie that she's here, because it's always like, as soon as you feel like you're slipping, let me just get into a class. Let me just sit with these people. Let me hear what other people are saying. Let me get off my chest what I need to get off of my chest. Let me learn something about nutrition, whether it be from one of the dietitians or, you know, let me learn something today. Let me add to my arsenal, because man, it is, it's like you got all these toolboxes that we're carrying around, and that sometimes you just need to add to it, or something new, something different, something to keep you, reel you back into it. So I almost have that, like, it's like my fallback. As soon as I feel like I'm just, I'm slipping, let me get into a class. Let me engage with the community. That's the number one for me.
I agree 1,000%. And I'm going to riff off another friend and Berry Nation member. Her name is Victoria. And we were talking about why Berry Nation, or just having a community of people who get it, is so important. And there are days that I feel empty, that I am low on energy, right? It's like, I just don't know how I'm going to get through this day. And when I plug into Berry Nation, I power up my life, my journey, right? It's like, that is what fuels, that is what puts the energy in that, like, motivation tank that I have, or that willpower tank, or whatever it is. But everybody gets low, because this is hard, this is difficult, and it's never ending. And that can be kind of a downer on days that you're like just exhausted, your kids are driving you nuts, or there's issues going on in your family, with work, with whatever. You're going to find yourself running on low or running on empty. And the place that you can go to fuel up is the community. We hope it's Berry Nation. We would love for you to be power up in Berry Nation, right? But you have to find your people. You have to find the community that works for you, because that is the number one thing that I do too, to stay engaged and to do this work on the days that I just don't feel like doing it anymore.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, and again, I'm going to sound corny, but the thing that I love about Berry Nation is no matter what it is you're going through, there's something, there's a group, there's a class, there's something that already lives in there. That's something for whatever it is that you're going through, whether it be grief, whether it be, I teach cooking classes, whether you're struggling with, like, you just don't like to cook, or you don't know what to cook, or whatever the case is, whether it be nutrition, like you don't understand macros, maybe it's head work. We have plenty of that. And that is my favorite part of it. Maybe it's connecting with doctors. Maybe it's just a meetup. Maybe it's just a chat, or have like a lunch chat. There's just like, you can find anything you're looking for in the community, in that specific community. So it's like, I believe in it wholeheartedly from when it first came around and I heard about it. I was like, this is where I can give what I feel like I have to give and get what I feel like I need to get. And so I was on board instantly with it. So I'm just going to little plug for you there, because I truly, truly, truly believe in it. And I don't think I would be where I am if I didn't have a community like that to fall back on. I just wouldn't.
Yeah. No, I feel the exact same way. I lost access to my medication 8 or 9 weeks ago, and I finally got another a dose. I'm back to zero, basically back at my 2.5. But in those 7 weeks that I lost access, I could not believe the change that I experienced within the first few weeks. That ravenous hunger, that constant chatter, right? The constant worry. It was just like everything returned. Mm-hmm. And the place that I went was into Berry Nation just as a member, because it was like, oh my God. Again, when you're on this medication, or when you're newly out of surgery, it feels like a lot of that work is being done for you, because it is. That is the purpose of that. But when those things go away, which they're going to, or they could, the work still has to be there. And I need a safe place to do the work, right? Because obesity, for me, and I think for a lot of people, is extremely isolating. It's an isolating disease. We can fight back that isolation with community. And it seems scary, and it seems, oh, because it's so counterintuitive to what we've always done our entire lives when we have been fighting the disease. But that is truly the number one weapon. That is the number one tool that you can use against this disease that is always going to be here and here. Yeah. It's not going away. Surgery and medication treats it. It doesn't cure it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just, everybody has something they're working through in life. You and I, and if you're listening or watching, it's probably obesity.
Right.
And it's going to be there.
And it's almost like you're right. There are people who walk through life on a daily basis and they don't constantly think about food. And then you add a layer for me, which is probably why I became a chef, because I love food and I love to cook, but it was just like my calling. But it doesn't matter what I'm doing. If like this week I was away and I train. And so I was in a kitchen and I'm working in a kitchen and I'm surrounded by food. And so if I'm not already, as it is, thinking about food enough, I'm thinking about it even more. And I'm writing out a prep sheet and I'm putting together order lists. And I'm, you know, it's this food and that food and that brand and this spec. And, you know, and there's so much of it. And if I'm not traveling and I'm home, I'm building, it could be, you know, I could be working on a recipe. I could be building a build chart or something like that. And it's ingredients and it's food. And then it's like, oh, that burger sounds good. I should have a burger today. And it will just lead my thoughts of what I'm doing, then starts leading off to what, you know, and it's like, it doesn't stop. So for me, that's a whole nother layer of it. If I'm not already thinking about it, I'm thinking about it. There's no escaping it. I could change careers, but I just, at this point in my life, I wouldn't. I love it. But I found a way to work into it. I found a way to think about it. I found a way to, and the words of Laura Grabo, catch it, change it. So when I see myself getting to a point where I'm obsessing over something, it's like, stop, just stop, Steph, stop. And I'll talk myself. I have more conversations up here. Nobody needs to be up here besides me. I have more conversations up there than I probably should, but I have learned to talk myself off the ledge. I've learned to reason with myself. And so in my podcast, my partner and I, Justy, what we've taught each other and how we lean to each other is to say, what do we want most versus what do we want now? What I want now is some cookies that are upstairs, but what do I want most is to maintain this weight. And what I want now doesn't fit what I want most. So ultimately I'm going for what I want most. And if it doesn't align, and sometimes what I want now aligns with what I want most, it's okay if they align, but a lot of times they don't. So I have to catch it, check it, and then change it. And if tomorrow I still want cookies, let me put them on my plan. There's a room for cookies in everybody's day. That's why we have them. And, you know, we wouldn't have them if they didn't fit somewhere. But it can't be every day, all day, and binging and whatnot. It's just, you just work it in where you can. And so that's been a trick for me too, is just what do you want most? What do you want most? What I want most is to maintain this weight. So I'm going to skip the cookies for today and I'm going to keep it moving. I'm finding an alternative. I'm going to eat a dive bar. Maybe I'll bake them into cookies. That's my savior. I bake them in the cookies and it's because I love cookies. So it solves my cookie cure.
Oh, look at you.
I even have them with a glass of milk sometimes. So it'll be like, I cut it in four and then I bake them. And then sometimes I'll get a little glass of Fairlife. So I get a little extra protein there. I know I'm mixing don't tell anyone, I'm mixing my liquid in my food, but it's small. So, you know. Look, but yeah, it solves my cookie craving, is I'll just bake it and now I have a different cookie.
Hey, this is April, one of your hosts. If the Berry Nation podcast has made a positive impact on your life, become a supporter. For $5 a month, you can help us produce this podcast. Your support would mean the world to us. Visit us online at berrynationpodcast.com to learn more.
What you are showing all of us, teaching all of us, is what the work of weight loss surgery is. And it's so hard to say, right? Because when our doctors say, we'll make lifestyle changes, right? Or when we talk about, well, one of our pillars is mindset. Well, great. But what does that actually look like in real time, in real life? And it is talking back to yourself when these invasive thoughts take over your consciousness.
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's literally saying, wait a minute. What do I want most versus what do I want right now? Right. It's catching it, checking it, changing it. That is the word. These are what we learn in Berry Nation. Like, we go to Laura's groups, we go to Laura's classes, we go to Christy's classes, we go to Katie's classes, we go to Melanie's class, right? Like Sarah, we are learning from the experts and then we have this safe place to practice it. Yeah. And by practicing it, it means we go to a group or we go to a class, or we go to a meetup and we tell each other, oh, hey, so this happened to me today. How weird is that? And everybody's like, oh, yeah. So what happened? What did you do?
Yeah.
That's the work. That's how we learn how to do it.
And the more that we do it, the more it becomes natural to us. So the first time that you're like, what do I want most? Well, what I want most is that cookie, right? It's also what I want now. I want them both most and now. but it takes time. You're not going to like be able to change. So if I am 47 and I've been obese my whole life since childhood, we'll call it 40 years. If 40 years of thinking was I want that cookie most and now, then I'm not changing that overnight. I'm just not. It's not going to happen. So I have to continue to practice it and continue to work on it little by little. And I'm going to fail sometimes. But you know what? Like I said earlier, as long as you don't stop, you're always moving forward. Maybe I pause. Maybe I pause and I eat the cookie. And then I pick it up and tomorrow is another day. But if I stop and I just have a case of the fuck it, then guess what? Then that's when we're done. And we've said it both before where you just don't want a bariatric. I've stopped bariatricking for a while. That's when I had my regain because like, I don't want to do it.
Yep. That's yeah. exactly when I, yep. Yeah.
Pause is one thing. Stopping is another.
Boom. That is 1,000% true. Yep. Pausing is a very different thing than stopping. And one of my favorite aha moments from being in the community was, and I don't remember who said it or when it happened, but somebody reminded me one time that, you know, some you're going, it feels like you're going at 100 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, boom, you hit that brick wall and you just come to a dead stop. Well, somebody once told me, you know, sometimes walls are put there so we can lean on them. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like yeah, sometimes absolutely. We have to take a pause. Sometimes we do just need to slow down or even come to a little bit of stop and rest,
yeah.
catch a breath, like take a moment, like understand where we're at. I mean, if we were like, we're going on a road trip and we just took off and we didn't know the direction that we were going and we never stopped to figure out where am I exactly? You're never going to get to where you want to go.
Right.
You have to stop. You have to refuel. You have to check in, right? Like,
and the wall is a boundary if you think about it. Like right now I'm in my house. If I didn't have these walls, I'd be like waving to my neighbor. And I don't think I want that in my life. So I need the wall for the boundary to contain ourselves. So yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Steph, what's the one thing that you're hoping people are leaving this conversation knowing or feeling?
I would say that whether you do or don't regain after weight loss surgery, and if you do or don't choose a weight loss medication, just get in tune with your body. Because I think, yes, I probably could have skipped the weight loss medication and done that work, and it may have taken me just a little bit longer than having the help of the medication would have. But doing that work to be in tune with your body, no matter what. And if you're early on or haven't had surgery yet, do that work to just learn your body, learn your hunger cues, and know that once that honeymoon phase ends, which is about a year and a half, that you're going to have to start to implement that work that you've learned more and more. Or if you're on a weight loss medication and you lose access to it, or you choose, like I did, to stop taking it, that you implement that work then as well. And just do your best that you can to lean on the community, to, you know, those pillars, and then just your bariatric basics. Like, just do the best that you can every day. It doesn't have to be all of it. It's the stinking thinking, all or nothing thinking. We don't have to do it all, but we have to keep moving forward.
Awesome. Awesome. Oh, thank you so much for your time. And thank you just for being so open to talk about this. I know that there can be a lot of shame, a lot of blame, a lot of not so great feelings that surround this conversation. And by you being so open and honest about it, you are going to help others take charge of treating their disease of obesity.
Yeah, absolutely. Then that's huge. It is absolutely huge, because I know somebody has to do it. Somebody has to be brave enough to just put it out there. And honestly, I just want the feeling that I have right now of being in maintenance and just like contentness, I want others to have that, because I know what it was like when I was over 300 pounds and that feeling of like shame and guilt, and just take that off of your shoulders. And if you can be in that place, I want people to know it's okay. I've asked for help several times. I wave my white flag all the time, and it is okay. It's okay. And that's what this community's here for. They've always got you. Doesn't even matter.
Nope.
Always. Like Jason would always say, you've got this and we got you. I'll take it out. I mean, I truly believe it. I drink the Kool-Aid, man. I drink it.
Absolutely. No, I'm happy to keep drinking it. It's the only reason that I am still
that's why I'm here.
Bariatric surgery.
Yes.
Yep. Nope. If you would like to connect with Stephanie, we invite you to join the Berry Nation membership community. If you are looking for that safe place to do this work that we're talking about, or if you like this kind of support just more often, join us there. It's https://berrynation.mn.co, and we would love to support you there. Stephanie, where can they connect with you outside of Berry Nation?
Yeah, so Berry Nation, I do have my meal prep classes. So I do teach meal prep classes, and they get recorded and all the rest. There's a ton of recipes. Every time I go in there and I see more and more, I'm like, holy mackerel, there's so many recipes in there.
And they're all your recipes, right? I mean, that is all of your hard work. So yeah, they're
amazing. Kind of cool to see. So yeah, I mean, endless recipes in there. And then outside of that, so I am, like I said, I'm on Instagram, which I am Steph the Shrinking Chef. And then I have my podcast, and we have an Instagram for that, which is We Are Losing It. And then you can find us on podcasts and YouTube podcast platforms and YouTube at We Are Losing It.
Yep. And all of this, friends, is going to be linked in the show notes. So if you are watching or you are listening to this podcast, just open up that description, scroll to the bottom, and you're going to see links that will take you right to Stephanie in Berry Nation on Instagram and on her podcast. Thank you again for joining me. This was a phenomenal conversation, and I was not wrong. It was better the second time.
We had to practice rehearsal the first time. So
we did. You know, that's just how it works. If you are listening and watching and you got value out of this podcast, please think about sharing it with somebody that you care about so they know that this conversation is there for them as well. And you can help us produce it. Become a monthly supporter of the podcast and ensure that these conversations keep happening. Just go to berrynationpodcast.com or berrynation.com. There's all kinds of ways to get a hold of us. It's also linked in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And Stephanie already said it. I'll say it again. But if Jason was here, he would say, remember, at the end of the day, you've got this, and we've got you. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.